Hello and welcome to Conscious Cool Chic Radio. My name is Molly McCord. I'm your host. And today we're doing a short 30-minute show focused on astrological energies. It is the beginning of June, and I don't know about you, but I felt June come in very strongly. In fact, towards the end of May, I felt a huge retraction in energy. And then as June started, the first 2 days, I felt this huge release coming in. We have a lot of energies this month. It's going to start big. It's going to end big. So we're going to look at a few things in this half-hour show. We're going to discuss the energies of the transit of Venus, which happens on June 5th. And we're going to look at the lunar eclipse, which happens on June 4th. We're going to go through every astrological house and talk about what it means to experience an eclipse in that house so that you can listen to this show with your astrological chart in front of you and determine what energies are coming up right now for your attention. Then we're going to end the show with a guided meditation to work with these energies. The meditation was just shown to me from my team just a few days ago, and I thought it was really, really lovely. So I'm excited to share that with you. So what I'd like to do is give you a heads up that we're going to be looking at your astrological chart. So if you don't have your chart, you can get a free one at astro.com. You'll need your birthday, your birth time, and your birth location. All those details are very important. And if you don't have it right now in front of you, you can listen to the show and then come back and listen to it again once the chart is in front of you. That's the great thing about Blog Talk Radio, is that you can come back and listen in the archives. So no worries if you don't have it right now. I'd like to start with a general review of where we're at. On May 20th, we had a solar eclipse, and it was a big energy that came in, a lot of focus on Gemini, and it's a continuation of other energies we've had coming in this year. Right now, we're in what I call an eclipse sandwich. We're right in between the next eclipse, which is a lunar eclipse, and that is in Sagittarius. Eclipses happen in pairs, usually 2 weeks apart, and twice a year. So every 6 months, we have two eclipses. There was a time back in 2010, I believe, when we had three in a row. Maybe you remember that time because it was pretty crazy. But two in a row is typical. And each eclipse is different. But the order of the eclipses is also different and is essential to understanding the energies. We started with a solar eclipse. A solar eclipse is more about a public experience. It's more out there. It's a global phenomenon. It's a global energy. It's something where new energy is started in the collective that we notice. It's with the energy of the sun and about a general life force, an insurgence of life force energy. And it signals starting points, new beginnings, breakthroughs, maybe breakdowns, aha moments, pivotal changes, whether they're external or internal. A solar eclipse has the energy of more of the public experience. That's how I like to sum it up. We're moving towards a lunar eclipse, which is different. It's about the personal inner experience. It's more it has an emotional component. It involves the moon. It's a lunar eclipse, so it is about the moon's energy. And when we're dealing with a lunar eclipse, we could be more introspective, internal. There might be things coming up for us that other people aren't aware of or don't see, but it's still very real in our lives. A lunar eclipse is also about what is complete, what is completing, what is over for you. On an emotional level, it's about what emotions are you willing to release as you call in higher levels of trust, faith, education of yourself. You're calling in these higher levels that benefit your full expansive self. So our solar eclipse on May 20th was about a collective experience with collective life force. It brings up stuff, and then we move into the lunar eclipse, which is where we dive into it and get true and truer about what we're doing right now, who we are right now, and what is over. It's about transitions. It's about release so we can call in the new. And I think everybody is going through that right now. We're maybe not seeing it in everyone's life, but it is a global energy right now. I know people who are going through some really big things, and you would never know it looking at their lives or looking at what they're doing in their daily existence, but it's happening. You know, it's happening for all of us on some level. So these eclipses bring things to our attention and bring them up so that we can't ignore them. I'm going to talk about the lunar eclipse in a little bit, but first I want to focus on the Venus transit of the Sun. Now, this is a big deal, and it's something that only happens once every 113 to 130 years. So it'll be the only time in our lifetime that we will experience this particular astrological transit. They occur in pairs. The Venus transits across the Sun happen together, 8 years apart. So the last one we had was June 8th, 2004. Now we're having one June 5th, 2012. And what happens is Venus moves across the Sun, the face of the Sun, and is essentially backlit by the Sun so that all of her energies are amplified by the Sun's potency. This is something that's very cool for astronomers, and it's also exciting for astrologers because the amplification of Venus is something that is really beautiful and potent, and we don't know all of the effects of it yet, but it's something that is so rare that people get excited about. I know here in the Seattle area, there's the transit of Venus parties that are being planned to really celebrate this event. And if you're interested, you can mark your calendars for the year 2117, which is when that will happen again. So it's truly once in a lifetime. So let's look at the astrological influences of Venus across the Sun. This first occurred, like I said, in June 2004. And I think it's really beneficial to look at our life as the continuum of where you were in June 2004 and where you are now in June 2012, and look at how your definition of self-love has grown. How has it expanded? How have you improved how you communicate your self-worth? Now, these are some thought-provoking questions, and it'd be a good idea to make some time to really look at that, because I think there's a lot of big information there for us individually. What is happening is Venus is in Gemini, and there is a theme right now of Gemini energies, but Venus is retrograde in Gemini. Now, a planet is never truly retrograde. It just appears retrograde from our viewpoint on Earth. But this is a phenomenon that occurs with almost every planet, and Venus going retrograde only happens once every 2 years. So we have her energy amplified by going across the Sun. Then we have her energy amplified being in Gemini, which is where a lot of energy is right now. Then we have it even more amplified by the fact that it's retrograde. And so what does all this mean? Well, what it comes together, how it comes together and how it looks is that we are reviewing how we communicate our self-worth. We are reviewing what is truly serving our values. We are looking at relationships that are coming to our attention for review, for clearing, for healing. And this is relationships across many past lives. This isn't just about right now. This is about lifetimes that we probably can't even consciously recall. But people who are coming in right now are usually connected to that energetic string. The other thing that's fascinating to me about past lives is that they're never truly past lives. They're now lives because everything is happening now. So the people who are in your life are playing a role to help you make breakthroughs around self-worth, your personal value, how you communicate, What brings you inner harmony? What is coming up for you to look at and improve so that you can walk with greater self-worth in the world? Both Venus and the Sun are squaring Mars during this transit. That means what's probably going to come up first is anger, resentment. Any kind of yucky stuff that we tend to not want to look at might come up in your face first in a way that you can't ignore it and you can't let it go right away. But what follows is typically the feeling that I am done with these unfulfilling patterns in relationships. I am finished treating myself this way. I am complete with these experiences that I have created because now I will only allow the highest possible expressions of love in my life. And I think that is the key, that is really the key to this Venus transit, is that it isn't so much about our external relationships, it's more about our internal relationship with ourself and how it's affecting our mental programming and how we're communicating and speaking to ourselves. It's about our thought processes, our internal thoughts, and how those reflect or do not reflect self-love. When we think of relationships, we do start looking around immediately at who our partner is and who our friends are, who's our lover. But every external relationship represents our internal relationship with self. So this Venus transit really highlights where you are with yourself. And that's why I think it's important to start with the June 2004 time period in your life, even if you can't remember exactly what was going on that month. Just even the middle of that year might help you tune in to some insights. But look at the progression and look where you have grown and look what you have cleared and what you have healed. And I think so many people have done amazing work in this area. And whatever is coming up right now that's grabbing your attention that needs to be healed and released, it's going to happen faster because the energies right now are so swift and so quick that it's just going to keep moving. So if something's grabbing your attention through anger, through resentment, through fear, the faster you can embrace it, the faster you will move through it. There is a really important global significance to this Venus transit across the Sun, and it's all about balancing masculine energies with feminine energies. For centuries, masculine energies have dominated the planet. There was a time, many, many, many moons ago, when feminine energies were the dominant force on different areas of the globe. And the masculine energies were subservient. There was a fear that masculine energies would take over and become too violent and too destructive. So the feminine powers made sure that the divine masculine powers were subservient. We know that that has changed and things have been different for the past few centuries. But what is significant about the Venus transit and the fact that it's happening in a pair twice is that we are reawakening divine feminine energies to balance these centuries of male-dominated energy. We are awakening these energies to bring in a return of the female voice, to open up, to share, to invite, to expand your female qualities and version of self. This is true for both men and women, and it looks different for each. But remember, your external relationships reflect your internal relationship, and when you balance those two within, you will see that balance without. The focus on Venus has to do with relationships, as I've mentioned, love, harmony, creativity, beauty, all the things we cherish, we want to share, music, peace, the arts. These are all dominated by Venus. So I'm really hoping, fingers crossed, that we make some big breakthroughs throughout this year in all these areas, and it seems that with the potency of Venus, we really will. I'd like to now turn your attention to the lunar eclipse on June 4th. And this is when you'd want to grab your chart. We're going to run through all the different houses. And I have a picture up on Blog Talk Radio where you can look at an astrological chart and you can understand which house is which. So very quickly, let me start with that explanation. You want to find, when you're looking at your chart, the horizontal line that goes across your chart. It should be flat, horizontal. On the left-hand side is a starting point called the ascendant or rising sign. From there, you're going to go down to the first house. And the houses look like 12 slices of pie. And everyone's houses look a little different, depending on who made your chart. They could look equal size, or they could look like you have a huge slice of the first house or a huge slice of the second house, and then other pieces of your chart are smaller. So it depends on how your chart was made, but there's a few different ways it can show up. And what I want to do is start with the first house, and we're going to look at how this lunar eclipse in Sagittarius at 14 degrees of Sagittarius is showing up for you. Now on Blog Talk Radio, I'm also showing you what the Sagittarius symbol looks like. You want to find that symbol on your chart. It looks like an arrow. It also looks like a plane. I always think of Sagittarius as a traveler, so I think of the symbol, the glyph, as a plane. And you want to find 14 degrees. 15 degrees will be close enough if that's easier for you to find. It's going to be the very middle of Sagittarius. And usually along the side of the chart, it'll have little dots or little lines that highlight each degree. And you want to find the 15, well, you want to find the 14 degree mark. But if the 15 is easier, it'll give you an idea what house it's in. The lunar eclipse is about emotional changes. It's about cleansing of fears. And it's about catalyzing, it's a catalyst for moving you forward in some area of your life. This is in Sagittarius, and Sagittarius is all about the big picture and belief systems, religions, philosophy, long-distance travel. This is the explorer and adventurer in the zodiac, the one who wants to go big, take a risk, expand, learn, move to your fullest potential. So there's lots of vitality in this lunar eclipse. There's lots of energy and strength and, you know, let's go for it. Let's do it big. Right now, it is ruled by Taurus. So Sagittarius is ruled by Jupiter. I don't want to confuse you, but I'm going to explain something really quick. Sagittarius is ruled by Jupiter. And right now, Jupiter is in Taurus. So that means that the Taurus principles are involved in this eclipse. And Taurus is about being practical, simple. It's a humble energy. It's a peacemaker. Sometimes a Taurus is incredibly stubborn, does not want to budge, doesn't want to move. I will stand right here until the end of days. So what we have is the expansiveness of Sagittarius with the practicality of Taurus. You could find that individuals do not want to compromise on their belief systems or philosophies, that they are looking for a practical application of risks. And if we're going to go on a big, long-distance adventure, where are we going to stay? What's it going to look like? How are we going to get there? And it might feel hard to let go if change is not your cup of tea. Depending on how Sagittarius and Taurus are in your chart, you might not want to make any big changes right now. You might not want to reach out and learn, and yet a part of you feels this impulse to do that. So there's some energies going on here that aren't completely compatible and could bring up some fears because of that. Ultimately, what you want to see are what emotional patterns are completing for you, what belief systems have you outgrown, and what are you willing to release? That's really what this lunar eclipse is about. And it is, as I mentioned at the top of the show, an internal, private process. It's about your unconscious emotional needs coming up. And it's important to give yourself space, give others space during this week. It's an excellent time for energy clearing sessions, whether that's Reiki, acupuncture, massage, Anything that you're drawn to, this is a great time to do it. And with lunar eclipses, it's important to remember that nothing is personal. Everyone is going through these energies and may not be conscious of what is happening. So try and look for some gratitude. And it maybe doesn't show up in the moment, but it shows up an hour later. And maybe it's, you know, someone getting angry at you is an opening to understand what happened in that conversation that you contributed to. And thank you for the insights around what I'm looking to improve in my communication style. So remember that gratitude will take you many places and can take you farther during these big changes than anything else. So let's take a look at where this energy would be showing up in your chart. Remember, you're looking for 14 degrees of Sagittarius, and the focus is on what emotional patterns are completing for you, what belief systems have you outgrown, and what are you willing to release. So if it's in the first house, this is all about your personal identity, your physical appearance. It's also about new beginnings and how you present yourself to the world. And maybe you're changing your emotional patterns in a way that you present yourself different, and you're forming a new identity that's going to help you reach your full potential. In the second house, we focus on values, self-worth, possessions, property, and finances. This is a back-to-basics house, and it's about what you claim for yourself, what identifies you with your world, what brings you joy. This is ruled by Venus, so if your lunar eclipse is in the second house, it's going to emphasize some of those qualities we talked about with the Venus transit. In the third house, we're looking at communication and different ways that you process internally your mental patterns. We're looking at daily routines. This house includes siblings, neighbors, short-distance travel. It's about what you think and how you use your mental processes to relate to people. In the fourth house, we're looking at roots. This is your family, your comfort zone, your internalized space. It's about real estate. It's about genealogy. It's about your actual physical home and your nurturing power, what you use to feel at home and safe in the world. In the fifth house, we turn our attention to self-expression. This is about creativity, risk-taking, pleasure. It includes children, games, playing, fun. It also is about royalty and how you shine in your life. What gifts do you offer? What do you share with people to be recognized as a creative individual? The eclipse in this house could really be exciting and stir up your creativity, stir up your passion. It could revolve around children. And it could be the urge to take a new risk and try something new. Now, in the interest of time, I haven't been talking about an eclipse in Sagittarius in every house, but you can piece it together. In the sixth house, we're looking at service, responsibility, what you offer, how you support other people. This house also includes physical health, diet, your pets, and your natural skills and abilities. An eclipse in this house in Sagittarius could be an awakening about how you could be of bigger service to the world in some capacity, and how you could share your beliefs, your philosophy, with an audience that is really interested in improving their service offerings. Now we're going to move to what is called the top part of the chart. And the seventh house is interesting because this is the beginning of how we relate to other people. The first six houses that we just went through are internal houses. And an eclipse in one of those houses is usually about something happening either internally or in your private life or somewhere that you feel it and you see it, but maybe it's not out there and it's not through other people. As we go into the seventh house, between 7 and 12, the energy changes so that your eclipse experience could be through another person. It could be someone in your career. It could be your partner. It could be someone in your life who has or does something, and that is your eclipse experience through them. So I hope that makes sense. But what it signifies is that you are going to experience something that is perhaps triggered by somebody else. So in the seventh house, we're looking at relationships. We're looking at business partnerships, negotiations, contracts, anything with your significant other, personal commitments. And this is about what you share and how you balance in relationships. An eclipse in the seventh house could be that your partner all of a sudden has an amazing opportunity to travel far and wide, and perhaps you're invited to come along. It could also show up as that your partner or business associate goes through a huge change of philosophy or change of belief, and it destabilizes your relationship with them. So this is the next few houses are about being triggered by external events, potentially. Eclipses show up in numerous ways, so it's hard to know every possibility. But this will give you some areas to have a heads up on. The eighth house is about shared resources, others' opinions. It's deep transformation, it's emotional depth, sexuality, support from others, psychology, mysteries. These are all the hidden aspects of our lives. And this is about what you share with others on a deeper level and how you share resources with them. It's also about death and rebirth. An eclipse in the eighth house often is about a spiritual awakening or something happening on a really deep, transformative level. In the ninth house, we're looking at beliefs, philosophy, long-distance travel. This is ruled by Sagittarius, so it's really going to enhance the lunar eclipse qualities. This includes law, internationalism, publishing, higher education. You could all of a sudden know that you need to go back to school to learn or teach in a higher capacity, or you could have new awakenings around your religious beliefs. This is about really searching for greater meaning and understanding. The 10th house, we look at our career. We go into personal authority. What is my purpose? What is my status? What rewards am I receiving? What is the recognition? This is about external manifestations based on expertise. It's about your role in a community and what you do to really share your authority. This is also ruled by managers, CEOs, leadership positions. So if you're having a lunar eclipse in the 10th house, this could be about a big change in a company, a change in your company. It could be a change that requires you to look at where your career is going. It could also mean a new promotion or some other authority is bestowed upon you after a lot of hard work. In the 11th house, we turn to group activities. Social relationships and social responsibility, humanity at large. This is about networking. It includes friendships and social circles. Lots of activism and associations are found with the 11th house. And this is about what you do to make a difference and how you relate to the collective. And then in the 12th house, we move to spirituality and our subconscious motivations. Maybe private matters, secrets. It's about a review process, usually. It's concealed from the public. This area of your chart, even though it's above the horizon, it still involves those mysteries and what can't be seen. This is about what you do in your private life that connects you to the greater good, greater compassion, greater love. So those are all of the houses. I hope that you got some good information from them. I'm looking at the time, and we are running out of time. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to do the personal meditation in the next episode, the next show, so that you can let this information sink in and then come back to it, and we'll do the meditation together. Thank you so much for listening. I hope this has been informative. And as always, you can find more information on ConsciousCoolChic.com. I also offer more astrology information there, too. Thank you so much for listening. Bye.